Wings of Chaos, Chapter 21, The Darkness Descends. Carlin found the group of them standing outside the Yawning Portal Inn, a massive building with a large carving of an open-mouthed gargoyle in the doorway. Shale couldn't help but be reminded of the reanimated gargoyles they'd fought in Dragonspear Castle as she nervously entered behind everyone else. Philip had left in the morning to sell his spices, and Whisper was at the academy vying for a position with them as a student. They promised to report back to them later with their findings. Inside, the octagonal room had tables and chairs along its perimeter, and in the exact center of the room were steps leading down a level, where a wide and seemingly endless dark pit was carved out. Around the wall was a winding staircase that went up several floors into closed doorways. It was an impressive structure, and Shale would have been surprised if it wasn't magic. The pit bothered her, but they had other matters to worry about. Carlin brought them to a comfortable booth where a few people were already seated. And a man turned away from them stood, and they all immediately recognized him as Laosin. "We meet again?" The monk smiled. "Please sit. This is Arthagast Albrinta." He gestured to a regal and handsome white-skinned human male, who nodded to them. "Husband of our fearless leader, Romalia Haventree." Romalia was also pale, and her skin seemed to shimmer. She had long silver hair and the pointed ears of an elf. A moon elf, Shale thought with interest. They were a beautiful, if somewhat sparsely seen, people, known for the mystery that shrouded them. Romalia raised her beautiful face to them and smiled serenely, and the four of them sat. "Welcome, each of you," she said in a strong voice, "and thank you for bringing Carlin back to us." They all dipped their heads. "You have come at a good time, it would seem," her husband said. "Later today, we have a meeting with many important people, those who would have caught word of the cult's dealings. We could use whatever information you've gathered. Laosin here has told us much. Do you know if the cult is working with the High Road Charter Company in Waterdeep?" Ozarin asked. Arthagast looked to the other two, and they all shook their heads no. "I couldn't say for certain," Arthagast told them, "though we may find out later today in our council meeting." "Seriously," Reverend said, anger coloring his voice, "do you people know nothing?" "We only know what our people have told us. That and rumors along the Sword Coast," Romalia said, giving Laosin a pointed look as if to say, "Who are these disrespectful people you've brought into our midst, dressed as they are in their dirty clothes with their low-born speech?" "Who are these people you're meeting with?" Ozarin asked. Drawing her gaze from Reverend slowly, Romalia said, "We have made a tentative agreement between the Harpers, the Order of the Gauntlet, and the Emerald Enclave, a council to which the likes have not been seen in many generations. So deep and different have the rifts been between these groups. Now, though, with news of the growing cult, we've decided to set aside our differences and meet." "You're only now meeting about this," Reverence demanded, leaning into the table and raising his voice. "The world is about to end, and you nobles in your fancy silks, with your noses stuck in your own business, are only now caring about the cult."
"Until a few weeks ago, we didn't even know the cult's plans," Arthagast said, his voice rising in response. Shale wasn't sure how long Reverence had been having his visions, but now she suspected it had been a while. Romalia put a gentle hand on her husband's arm and looked down at Reverence as if he were an annoying aunt.
"We are not so strong as you may think, monk. Our resources are not limitless, and the cult has been secretive and difficult to infiltrate, as we have seen with Carlon and Laosin's experiences, not to mention your own."
Reverence folded his arms. "Clearly, we knew more about the cult than you."
"Which is why," Laosin stepped in, trying to keep his voice calm, "we have asked you to meet with us, so we can exchange information and decide what to do next about the cult."
"Decide what to do?" Reverence barked a humorless laugh. "We need to destroy them. Nothing else can be done."
"And how do you propose we do that?" Romalia asked, arching an eyebrow.
Reverence threw his hands up. "Shouldn't you be telling us that? Shouldn't the Harpers and the Order of the Gauntlet and the damned Emerald Enclave have these answers?" We may, Romalia said firmly, once we meet. Later, today.
She said the words slowly, carefully, iterating each one.
I don't know who you think you are, you group of mercenaries, but the cult spans wide and far into our past, and there's still much to be learned.
We don't have time, Reverence said flatly, ending the conversation there. Awkwardly, the rest of their group watched the exchange, and finally Ozarin explained.
I think what Reverence is trying to say is that we need to act now, before the cult resurrects Tiamat and brings destruction to our world.
Romalia put a hand to her eyes and rubbed them wearily.
There are many things happening in this world, Arthagas said finally. Even above and beyond the cult, though your eyes may be too narrow to see it.
Yes, the cult may be trying to end the world. No, they're not the only ones who've tried and failed to do that very thing before. But rash decisions and tiny feuds are not the way to go about defeating them. Until you learn that, you are of no help to us or our council.
Damn your council, Reverence said, standing and flicking his tail angrily at the four of them. You are of no help to us. Have your meeting. Do what you want.
But we don't have time to sit around, watching you and your politicking.
Do you at least know when the cult will be leaving Waterdeep? Ozarin asked, trying to overcome Reverence's angry tone with his own calm one.
I believe I can help you with that,
a familiar voice said from behind them, and Janna the gnome strode up on tiny legs to their booth.
They're leaving tomorrow.
Hi,
she said in greeting to Romalia, Arthagast, Laosin, and Carlin.
I'm Janna, and I'm here to join your council meeting. I represent the Zhentarim faction.
She cast Reverence a dirty look. Romalia and her husband shared a look, and the moon elf nodded back to Janna.
Welcome, Janna of the Zhentarim. We will welcome your group into our council gladly. We weren't sure we'd hear from you.
Yeah, yeah, Reverence said impatiently, still standing. We're not waiting around for this meeting, so give us the information we need and we'll be on our way.
Reverence, Shale started to say, but Romalia raised her hand.
Laosin, she said, give them each an invisibility potion to aid them in their search. I believe our discussions are over.
Laosin hurriedly reached into a pack and handed the potions to Ozarin, who pocketed them and thanked the monk.
Now leave us, Romalia said, clearly done with the conversation.
Shale gave Janna a nod. Reverence snorted and turned on his heel, exiting first. Shale, Keelan, and Ozarin following behind him, tentatively gazing at the black pit in the center of the inn. Strange. When they were back out on the streets, Keelan turned to Shale and said,
Next time we're meeting with a bunch of important noble-type leaders, we're bringing Philip.
That was a disaster, Shale agreed.
Reverence was already out of earshot, but Ozarin heard them and said,
You have to admit, though, it was a bit disappointing to find that out of all these groups, we know the most.
Shale was tired and decided not to argue. When Ozarin had walked away, she murmured back to Keelan,
Let's never let Reverence do the talking ever again.
Feeling dissatisfied, they followed Ozarin and Reverence back to the open barrel. They sent a message to Whisper and Philip again, telling them of their plans to sneak into the warehouse with their invisibility potions. They received a message back from Whisper via his owl very quickly after, and the message said he was staying at the academy all day to read books and wouldn't join them in their infiltration. Philip's message came later and said he needed to finish selling spices before they continued their journey the following day, if indeed the cult was leaving Waterdeep. Shale decided to keep Trigger at the inn, locked in their stables. With that, Keelan, Shale, Ozarin, and Reverence went back to the warehouse and each drank an invisibility potion. Shale and Ozarin each had a spare for the ones Whisper and Philip wouldn't be needing, just in case they stayed longer than the 1 hour the potion permitted. Then, silently, the four of them snuck into the warehouse, sliding through the door. Inside the large warehouse, which was a single-story building, were boarded windows and a few offices on one side with desks and papers. In the main open area, there were at least a dozen carts being loaded with supplies by workers dressed in gray uniforms. Shale felt Ozarin's hand on her arm, and he whispered quietly,
I'm going to check the offices for information. Listen in and see what you can find.
Shale nodded, then realized he couldn't see her, and said softly,
Okay.
The crates being loaded into the wagons were stamped with an HR brand. presumably for the High Road Company. Shale snuck to a wagon that was currently unoccupied and slipped in to check inside the crates. Nails, shovels, and other working supplies were on top. When she checked the ones in the back, she found the familiar golden gems, the ones stolen by the cult. She paused when she heard Asbara's voice and quickly crept out of the wagon and around the warehouse to listen in.
"We want to make sure they're secure,"
he was saying to a gray-bearded, balding man with a wide stomach, who was issuing commands to those loading the carts. They were walking around and chatting, and Shale followed.
"And what about the three we brought in?" Asbara asked. "Can we make sure they get to the roadhouse without question?"
"Yes, yes," the older man was saying. "It's not the first time we've had dealings like this. My men are professionals." Asbara said something too quiet for Shale to hear, so she crept closer. "Our payment was received, of course," the older man nodded, rubbing his bearded chin. He looked over at one of the larger crates and pointed to a man, barking orders for him to load the heaviest crates at the bottom. Asbara wrung his hands as he watched the men work, and Shale was so close now she could hear his wheezing breaths. She couldn't be sure where Ozrin, Reverence, or Keelan were. She stepped closer to Asbara until she could see the pores on his nose. She was right next to him. So close. The Red Wizard licked his lips and stirred, turning back to the offices. His red robe swirled around him as he turned. Shale saw the wizard hovering over the town of Triel, words spitting out of his wormy mouth in Draconic. Commander of the dead. Necromancer. Her hands clenched around her drawn machete. She didn't remember drawing it, but now the bare steel was in her hand, and she gripped it tightly, staring at Asbara. The man looked around as if he'd heard something, then sniffed, and began shuffling away. Shale heard the sound in her mind, of the blade squelching, as she drew it out of Kellic's motionless chest. It took a lot of strength to stab someone. Most people didn't realize that. She felt sweat trickle down her brow. Time seemed to slow. Gwerin's voice echoed in her mind, barely more than a whisper. "Wait." It was too late. Shale strode the few steps forward and grabbed Asbara roughly around the shoulders, pressing the sharp blade against his throat. "I told you to tread carefully," she hissed, the darkness bleeding into her vision as her heart filled with rage. The madness took her again. Shale pulled the blade across the Red Wizard's exposed throat. Asbara flinched and rolled out of Shale's invisible grasp, the blade nicking his neck and leaving a trail of blood.
"Ashika!"
the Red Wizard shouted, spreading both hands before him where Shale stood. She dove as a massive spectral hand appeared and tried to tighten around her invisible form, but she ducked and rolled out of its large, curled fingers. Suddenly, her invisibility was gone, and Asbara was looking at her with recognition.
"You?"
he started to say in confusion. "Are you the necromancer who killed my family?" she demanded. "Were you the one who destroyed Triel?"
"Tree? What? No."
She drew up her hands and screamed to Gwerin in her mind, and a giant cloud of fog exploded around them, shrouding them all and giving Shale a chance to run.
"Guards!"
Asbara screamed. "Oh no."
"Run!"
Shale shouted, not knowing where her friends were. Her head suddenly felt clear, and she couldn't believe what she'd done. It wasn't him. He didn't know what happened in Triel. "I may have just doomed them all," she thought with despair as she rushed through the fog, careful to avoid the voices of people as they ran about, frantically searching for the intruders.
"Revenge is a poison."
She heard the words. They weren't Gwerin's, and she couldn't tell if they were her own. Suddenly, she was surrounded in the fog by five guards. She drew her other blade and stood there for a moment, watching her enemy standing there in the swirling fog. Then, they attacked. Reverence ran to the doorway as soon as he saw what Shale had done, then cast darkness over some of the men as they ran to take out the ranger. The tiefling cursed and shot out of the door, leaving her to her mess. He climbed the outside of the warehouse and ran across the roof. Ozurin started for the door, still shrouded in invisibility, the moment Shale shouted run. At the entrance, he turned back and saw, through the edge of the fog, the ranger surrounded.
"I can't leave her," the warlock thought. "Damn it, Shale, what have you done?"
He charged back into the fight just as Asbara appeared from the fog, and a wave of fire slammed into him. Keelan was so close to Shale when he saw her appear on the ground, Asbara waving a magical fist in the air.
"What is she doing? We're supposed to be finding information, not killing everybody."
He knew they couldn't win this fight. Not against a wizard. Not without Philip and Whisper. As a cloud of darkness flashed up near the doorway, Keelan charged at it and slipped into the edge of the darkness, shooting a shield spell over Shale just as her invisibility wore off. He dipped back into the shadows, thinking desperately as he felt the hits against the shield spell wearing the ranger down. The paladin jumped back out of the darkness with his hands up, ready to cast a spell against the wizard, and saw that the fog cloud had dropped, and so had Shale. Ozarin was visible, fighting off too many guards as he turned to run past and drag Shale's body toward the door. Asbara flicked his wrist coolly and blasted the warlock off his feet with a swirling blaze of fire. Ozarin didn't stir from his place in the dirt. Keelan slipped back into the darkness, just as Asbara looked around the warehouse at Reverence's black cloud spell, and shouted, "Search the warehouse, there's more of them." There were more shouts as the guards began looking. With a deep breath, Keelan counted to three, then charged out of the darkness for the door. He looked back for a moment, seeing Shale and Ozarin unconscious on the ground, surrounded by enemies. He paused, then sheathed his sword and ran. Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com. Thanks so much for listening.